With the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. Here's your host, Taylor Hillman.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Agnet West Morning Show. We are on the road today in Visalia at the California chapter of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers Annual Conference. It's been going on all week, but the actual conference with educational sessions is happening today. Kevin Kester, CFBF's Brian Little, Nat DiBudio, all scheduled to talk today, so stay with Agnet West for all of the information. Brian German will have a little bit of news that's coming out today at the conference in just a few minutes as well. We're going to start with a positive story out of the Central Coast. The Jimmy Cox Memorial Scholarship is an annual award given to a student who plans to major in agriculture. Agriculture presents the scholarship and this year gave it to Watsonville's St. Francis High School senior Megan Clifton at the Santa Cruz County Farm Bureau National Ag Day Spring Luncheon. American Ag Credit also partners with agriculture and gives a second scholarship to the winner. Clifton has a long list of academic, athletic, and extracurricular merits. She plans on going to Fresno State and majoring in agriculture communications so she can return to her home county and, what she put in her words, assist large farming operations in sustainable agricultural issues along the Central Coast. Clifton will receive $4,000 to assist her in that goal. Congratulations and thank you to Clifton and all of the young adults out there that are looking to take a similar path in agriculture. We're still seeing some rain through large portions of the state. It rained almost all day yesterday in the Central Valley. That will complicate things crop-wise some, maybe slow down strawberry harvest, make things a little swampy in some areas. But I think all in all, the industry will, of course, take the rain. We'll keep an eye on it. But for right now, let's get to today's news.
Special Assistant to the President for Agriculture, Ray Starling, continued his pro-ag trade comments this week, the same message he delivered earlier this month at California Citrus Mutual's Citrus Showcase. Starling told attendees at the AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit in Washington, D.C., that the administration's goal is for free and fair trade for all industries, including agriculture.
This president and this administration look forward to expanding opportunities for agriculture trade. We are open for business. And our end game, whether we are getting there through formal trade agreement renegotiations, through informal conversations with our partners, whether in opening new markets or in addressing non-tariff barriers that you all know so well, our end game is to create a level playing field where we believe at the end of the day, our farmers will be the first to benefit.
Starling expressed that they understand the possibility of trade retaliation in response to new tariffs and the angst it creates, but he said they're prepared for the possibility and will handle those situations if they occur.
My request for this group is that we try to be careful with the narrative here. We are pushing for free and fair trade. If that results in retaliation against us, then that tells you something about the state of free and fair trade and why I believe it is that President Trump thinks we have work to do in that regard.
The National Association of Farm Broadcasters also reported that Starling told the crowd, quote, "It's about time Greg Dowd got to work," referring to the Senate confirmation of Dowd as chief agriculture negotiator in the U.S. Trade Representative's office. Starling said that no one is more ready to get to work on trade than Dowd.
Now here's Brian German.
As portions of California receive some significant rainfall, it can present several challenges for some farmers and ranchers in relation to mud management, water quality management, and potential flooding emergencies. As dairy cattle that are being housed in excessively muddy pens for long periods of time can experience a decrease in production while also increasing the potential for disease, the California Dairy Quality Assurance Program has created a webpage, Managing Mud on Dairies, which provides details on cost-effective management options that are available to producers. During periods of heavy rainfall and the associated runoff, it's also important to remember that any rainfall that contacts dairy manure must be maintained on your property and diverted to the pond for collection. The Dairy Quality Assurance Program and UC Davis have also produced a brochure called Flooding and Livestock Owners, specifically for producers preparing for or already dealing with an extreme flooding event. A new issue of the publication Trends is officially being released at the Outlook 2018 Agribusiness Conference taking place today in Visalia. current president of the California chapter of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers, Dan Weisenhunt, offered some insight on the importance of their publication.
The Trends publication is a barometer of land and lease values throughout the state of California. We have a network of members throughout the state that contribute information to construct that reference guide. And that reference guide has become a Bible over the years for real estate professionals, lenders, appraisers. Anybody associated with rural and agricultural land uses that to refer to. And it's become a very, very important part of California agriculture.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
The Farm Bill process is hitting some snags. Gary Crawford has more.
On Capitol Hill this week, there are reports of delays in rolling out Farm Bill language, with some differences of opinion among lawmakers on some issues that may have bogged down the Farm Bill process, leading Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue to say,
I would be a huge advocate for a 2018 Farm Bill, not a 2019 or 2020 Farm Bill.
Perdue telling an audience in Washington this week that, yes, the bill is likely to be building mainly on the current bill, making it potentially easier to craft, and yes, many lawmakers are working to get the bill finished this year.
But realistically, we also have to understand that 2018 is an even-numbered year, and we have things happen in this country in even-numbered years, and that's elections, and the Farm Bill, unfortunately, can't totally overcome the politics that gets involved in the Farm Bill.
But he's still hopeful there will be a 2018 Farm Bill. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
Welcome back to AgNet West's Farm City Newsday. More agriculture news for you now. Vice President Pence says National Ag Day was a good opportunity to point out how technologically advanced American agriculture has become. Stephanie Ho has more.
Vice President Mike Pence said National Ag Day provides an opportunity to point out how advanced American agriculture has become.
America's farmers have long led the world in innovation and achievement, and as this group knows better than anyone, working in American agriculture today is a far, far cry from your grandfather's farm.
Speaking at USDA headquarters, the vice president said he sees the connections between ag and space in his role as the chairman of the National Space Council.
Through the work of the council, I've seen the advances that we have made in space, but I've also seen how American agriculture today uses the technologies of today and tomorrow to increase productivity, maximize crop yields, and prepare for extreme weather events.
He listed some technological advances.
Remote sensing allows for soil mapping so that farmers can plant the right crops in the ideal soil and better design the irrigation systems. Weather satellites help farmers and ranchers monitor and predict weather patterns and plan accordingly. And of course, GPS has revolutionized farming.
This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Well, in today's livestock news, over the past year, many cattle producers have taken advantage of the interactive online Beef Quality Assurance, or BQA, training, which is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Executive Director of Producer Education, Josh White, says there are various modules available for producers to take part in. That includes a transportation module.
If you're a farmer or rancher, go ahead and get your regular BQA certification first. But if you want to do sort of continuing ed or another round of education, we do have a farmer rancher specific transportation module set up that you can learn more about hauling. And you know, a lot of it may be a review, but there are some excellent resources in that training regarding state transport requirements, health requirements, links out to all sorts of information there, biosecurity, fitness for transport discussion, and then just some basics of pre-trip checklists that you can print off some documents. We also produce a handbook that you can throw on the dashboard or in your glove box and refer back to that includes pre-trip checklist and some other really good information, basic information like body condition scoring, some other things to make sure these cattle are in good shape before they go on trailer. We also have a professional track there, so if you're a professional driver, we do know that a lot of the packers, there is an expectation for certification now, and so that's available online, and we also have state coordinators getting trained up now to be able to deliver the transportation training in person as well.
White reminds producers who want to become BQA certified, you can do it all online.
Go to BQA.org, or in the Southeast, there's great partnerships with the state cattlemen's associations and beef councils with BQA. So if you've got a good relationship with your state cattlemen's association and you don't want to get online, you can certainly call there and they'll direct you in the appropriate direction.
More information can simply be found at bqa.org. In other news, more than 3 months after the Thomas Fire ripped through the Ventura and Santa Barbara County area, farmers and ranchers continue to assess the long-term impacts. According to a story from the California Farm Bureau Federation, avocado farmers say some fire-blackened trees have actually started to put out new growth, leading to hope they may recover. But cattle ranchers within the fire zone say it will take years for their herds and grazing land to fully recover. A lemon grower said Santa Ana winds actually caused more problems than the fire did. And Easter remains the biggest time for American lamb consumption, but the holiday doesn't have much influence into when California ranchers market their lambs. According to a story from the California Farm Bureau Federation, most California-grown lambs are born in the fall and marketed after Easter, with many being sold directly to restaurants and other customers. Both ranchers and marketers are reporting strong demand, though, for California lamb this year. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West. AgriView with Everett Greiner is next.
By now, everybody knows about the problem with wild hogs. What a lot of people don't know is there's a lot more than destroying crops and rooting holes in the field. What would you think if I told you they were a threat to the pets and the livestock that you own? Any animal you own on your property, like a horse. In one area of our country, they've been known to carry as many as 12 diseases. Two of the most common are brucellosis and pseudorabies. Now, either can be deadly to both livestock and domestic animals. Just fencing them won't do it. That has been proven in one southern state. I've just mentioned a couple of diseases, by the way. There are many more. So the problem goes on. How long? Good question. No answer. And that's AgriView for today. Everett Greiner, AgNet West.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We'll have more of the day's agriculture news in just a moment. And remember, you can always get the latest agriculture news from around the state and the nation at our website, agnetwest.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to AgNet West's Farm City News Day. More agriculture news for you now.
A Pacific-based storm is expected to bring both heavy rainfall totals and potential for mudslides and flash flooding in parts of Southern California this week. But USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says further north,
we will see a very impressive snowstorm across higher elevations of the Sierra Nevada.
Good news in what has been so far a well below normal winter mountain snowpack season for the primary source of the Golden State's water supply. And Rippey says that although there has been improvement in accumulation totals after a dismal start to the season,
the snowpack in the Sierra Nevada heading into the storm system is only about 40% of the mid-March average in terms of its water equivalency.
In fact, this current system and accompanying snowfall could boost Sierra Nevada snowpack totals significantly higher.
And actually lead to a much improved water supply outlook for California's rivers and reservoirs for the runoff season.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Even though summer is months away, the right time to plan for the typical summer vegetables is a lot sooner than you think. April is just weeks away, and this is typically the time you'll want to get the garden vegetables and seed pots in protected spots, such as tomatoes, eggplants, squashes, cucumbers, melons, peppers, and okra. Wait until the last frost is safely behind before moving them from protected pots to their future space in the garden. Then when the last threat of potentially damaging chilly temps are behind us, you can plant these veggies directly in the ground, as well as beans and sweet potatoes. For summertime perennial producers, your best bets are raspberries, blueberries, blackberries, and strawberries, along with other berry varieties. Stay tuned. We'll have autumn and winter vegetable gardening and harvesting tips to continue your year-round gardening. I'm Kathy Eisen for AgNet West.
Good day, everybody. Albert J. Hernandez, the Untamed Chef for AgNet West. And welcome to the California Kitchen, where we do recipes, we cook, we have a lot of fun, and we do it in 3 minutes or less. Let's get started. Special thanks to my sponsor for this show, would be My Job Depends on Ag. Meet the people who grow your food and promote agriculture all over the country. www.myjobdependsonag.com and give them a like on their Facebook page, 63,000 and growing. My Job Depends on Ag. My recipes for you this week are unique, they're fun, but most importantly, they're going to get everybody in the kitchen and they're going to get you excited about cooking and loving food. My first recipe for you today is a strawberry streusel pie. Let's get started. The very first thing I'm going to need to do is I need to get 1 cup of flour. I need two tablespoons of kosher salt, 3 tablespoons of sugar, 3 tablespoons of vegetable shortening. This is all going to go into a food processor. This is the easiest way to do this. You can do this by hand, but I highly recommend doing it in a food processor. It is so much easier to make this happen, and it's really, really not that hard if you do it this way. And this is going to make our pie crust for us. Have you ever thought about making fresh pie crust? Well, guess what? You just did. Once we mix all of that together and everything kind of looks like beach sand or like we use in the culinary field, mealy, we're going to go ahead and add 1/2 cup of water. We're going to go ahead and pulse that as well. That's going to come out. It's going to be very sticky. We don't want to overwork the dough, but we do need to roll it out thin to put around our pie shells or whatever you're going to do with it. You can even just cook it directly on a pan, and it works just like that as well. But once we find the pie pan we're going to put it in, we're going to go ahead and make an egg wash using 1 egg yolk with 1 tablespoon of water added to that. We're going to brush that around our pie crust, and then we're going to take some granulated sugar, and we're going to dust that pie shell as well. Go ahead and put that in the oven at 375 degrees to 400 degrees, depending on what kind of oven. If you're doing convection, 375. If you're doing a standard oven, 400 degrees. You're going to let that cook for about 12 minutes. You're going to pull that out, and then we're going to fill that up with some fresh strawberries because strawberry season is starting up again. And once we add those fresh strawberries to that, I'm going to top that with a streusel topping. To make your streusel topping, we're going to add 1/2 cup of flour, 1/2 cup of sugar, 2 tablespoons of butter, pulse that once again inside of your food processor, and add 1 tablespoon of cinnamon as well. You're going to go ahead and put that right over the top. Go ahead and put that oven to 425 degrees for another 10 minutes and enjoy. For this and many more of my recipes, follow me at www.ajhtheuntamedchef.com. And as always, this is Albert J. Hernandez. You can call me the Untamed Chef for Agnet West.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. In today's interview segment, specialty crop news brought to you by the Almond Board of California. You can find them online at almonds.com. Nitrogen budgeting plans may need to be adjusted after the variable weather during bloom. Almond Board of California's Gabrielle Ludwig said estimating yield is difficult in itself anyways, and this year we'll have several added variables, and there are some tools available for growers.
I'm Gabrielle Ludwig, Director for Sustainability and Environmental Affairs at the Almond Board of California.
Gabrielle, we're talking about nitrogen budgeting today because it's been a little bit of a weird winter, early spring bloom period. When growers have come up with a plan for their nitrogen, it may need to be adjusted at this point, correct?
So ideally, what a grower has done is set down in January, based on past year's yields, come up with an idea of how much nitrogen they need to apply this coming year based on some pretty much guesses on what the yield is going to be. Given that this spring has included some frost damage and early blooms and so forth, maybe worth revisiting what the grower thinks the estimated yield is going to be, and based on that revise their nitrogen applications.
And that could vary, that change could vary depending on how much damage different growers saw. But, you know, trees shift their resources and stuff like that. So it could vary. There could be a change and there could not be a change, right?
Correct. I mean, and part of the difficulty with estimating yield in trees is that, you know, the tree puts out a profusion of flowers. Not all of them get pollinated. Not all of them turn into fruit, and then, you know, sometime in May you still have what's called June drop, which is really a May drop, where the tree still can correct the amount of fruit or nuts it decides to actually develop based on the amount of energy that the tree has. So there's a number of variables throughout the spring that will affect yield, and the grower needs to be keeping that in mind as they're planning their nitrogen management for the growing season.
We're a little past this point already, but I think it's a good reminder. We're starting to see leaf out in several areas. This is the time that you want to apply nitrogen, but applying it before you see leaf out is not really beneficial.
No, it's not really beneficial because basically nitrogen is absolutely critical for plants development, very critical for almonds because we are producing a food with a lot of protein in it. The flip side of nitrogen is that it has a habit of going somewhere else in the environment, into the air, into surface water, and go into groundwater. And so one of the key tricks with nitrogen management is to put it on in a way that the plant will take it up, but to minimize the opportunities for that nitrogen to go somewhere else in the environment. And so one of the things that I found very valuable coming out of the research from Patrick Brown's group several years ago was really looking at when and where the tree is taking up nitrogen throughout the growing season. And what that research clearly showed is that during this bloom and leaf out phase, the tree is using nitrogen that's stored within the tree from the previous growing season. And it's not until you actually have leaves that are fully developed and that can do photosynthesis that the tree can actually take up nitrogen from the soil. So the general advice is try and put on your nitrogen closer or just after leaf out so that it's there when the tree is ready, it starts having the high demand for nitrogen, but not before then when you have more opportunity for that nitrogen to be leached or be transformed into something that goes up in the air.
Yeah, well, and you want to make that count for your trees, so that's good. You guys have an online tool. You guys have several online tools. One of them is for nitrogen budgeting, correct?
Correct. So again, based on this research coming out of Patrick Brown's lab at UC Davis and really revised the nitrogen budgeting tool, and it's focused on almonds. It asked growers a number of questions about their trees, the soil type, the different forms of nitrogen they may be applying, and their yield estimates, and helps growers really look at how much nitrogen do they really need for their conditions. It's definitely a very valuable tool, and I think the other thing to realize is that if a grower participates in that or uses it, there's what I call the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program button. So basically, for the Irrigated Lands Program, you need to have a nitrogen management plan, which is not exactly the same. It doesn't require as much detail as we have for the nitrogen budgeting for almonds. But essentially, if you do use the almond nitrogen tool, then you also can fulfill your requirements for having a nitrogen management plan of the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program. If you go to the Almond Board's website under Grower Nitrogen Management, you can find links that will take you to that budgeting tool. It is on the sustainability website, so you do need to sign up for it. But it's the beauty of the signing up for it is that then it stores information so the grower doesn't have to put in all the information every time they come back to it.
Very cool. And there are lots of workshops going on in several areas of the state, both from Almond Board and UC, right?
Yes. So currently we're in the midst of our first California Almond Sustainability Program workshops that focus on irrigation and nutrient management. I believe next week we have several in the South Valley. And then in parallel, UC is holding several workshops focused on nitrogen management. I know there's one in the 21st, I believe, in Kern County, and one on the 27th up in Colusa County. But take a look at the Almond Board's website will have that information, or the Farm Advisor websites will have that information.
Okay, thank you for your time, Gabrielle. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Back on February 9th, Congress passed and the President signed a spending bill, including almost $2.4 billion.
To help producers that were affected by the severe disasters we saw, particularly the hurricanes.
Agriculture Department Chief Economist Rob Johansson talking with us back when the bill was passed. And this week,
we have told our team that we want this disaster money rolled out in weeks, not months.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue telling an Ag Day audience in Washington many times in the past it's taken far too long to disperse disaster money.
And timeliness and cash flow is very important as people are preparing to plant, We want them to have some idea of what those provisions are going to be.
But he said it's not a simple job to decide who gets how much and under what circumstances.
The disparity between the types of agriculture, the size of agriculture, make it very difficult to do a one-size-fits-all. So we're looking at gradients of awards in a way that would make sense.
In the disaster bill, Congress pretty much gave Sonny Perdue and the USDA carte blanche on how the money would be distributed. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
This is Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Agnet West's Farm City Newsday. More agriculture news for you now. Science is the key to understanding a world that's rapidly changing as well as adapting to those changes. Chad Smith has more.
Darren Wallace, Vice President of North America Communications for Bayer, says challenges like food security are very complex. Comprehensive agricultural science education is a key component of the solution.
You know, we need to support teachers and kids when it comes to this critically important STEM field. Data continues to show that American students are falling behind when it comes to STEM education. And to create a better life for all of us, we have to have a STEM-savvy generation leading the way.
A study found that more than 80% of American educators believe ag science is an important discipline, but only 22% include it in their lessons. The study found that fewer than half the teachers surveyed feel qualified to teach ag science. Wallace says the lack of science education is leaving agriculture short of qualified individuals to lead the industry into the future.
Thousands of jobs in agriculture, including those in the STEM fields, are at risk of going unfilled every year due to a shortage of qualified applicants. If we're going to make life better for all of us, we've got to have a new generation of leaders who are inspired and prepared to address the challenges that await us in food production.
As science literacy wanes, concern about finding solutions to future challenges grows. To address that gap, Bayer and the National 4-H Council launched the Science Matters Initiative last August. The initiative has provided hands-on curricula, scholarships, community grants, and volunteerism opportunities for 4-H clubs around the country.
As the demands of a growing population place even more stress on our environment, natural resources, and nutrition, we need scientific innovation to deliver solutions that will sustain all of us. It won't happen without a new generation of motivated, STEM-literate leaders who can work together to make our world a better place.
Through the Science Matters Initiative, Bayer and the National 4-H Council are committed to equipping at least 25,000 students across America with the tools they'll need to deepen their understanding of science. Chad Smith reporting.
Now recapping our top story. Special Assistant to the President for Agriculture, Ray Starling, continued his pro-ag trade comments this week, the same message he delivered earlier this month at California Citrus Mutual's Citrus Showcase. Starling told attendees at the AgriPulse Ag and Food Policy Summit in Washington, D.C., that the administration's goal is for free and fair trade for all industries, including agriculture.
This president and this administration look forward to expanding opportunities for agriculture trade. We are open for business. And our end game, whether we are getting there through formal trade agreement renegotiations, through informal conversations with our partners, whether in opening new markets or in addressing non-tariff barriers that you all know so well, our end game is to create a level playing field where we believe at the end of the day, our farmers will be the first to benefit.
Starling expressed that they understand the possibility of trade retaliation in response to new tariffs and the angst it creates, but he said they're prepared for the possibility and will handle those situations if they occur.
My request for this group is that we try to be careful with the narrative here. We are pushing for free and fair trade. If that results in retaliation against us, then that tells you something about the state of free and fair trade and why I believe it is that President Trump thinks we have work to do in that regard.
Just a reminder that we'll be at the California chapter of the American Society of Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers annual conference today in Visalia at the Convention Center. We hope to touch base with NCBA President Kevin Kester, our friend Patrick Zelaya with Heavy Connect about some labor issues and many others. Stay with Agnet West and this radio station for all of the information. And if you're planning on attending, say hi if you see us.
To get more information on topics you've heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can also follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German @BrianAgnetWest and Taylor Hillman @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.